sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm joined by our favorite gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Looks like everybody's been out in the garden today. That's what we like to see.
Yeah. The hands are doing good.
It's dirty hand report. That's right. Radio. You've got to describe that, Lance.
Yeah. I had
dirt,
to wash
dirt, my... Dirt, veins.
I'm close, so I can go home and actually wash. I mean, I'm right there in my garden, and I wash my hands before I come down because I wouldn't.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be pretty.
It's not pretty. Plus, I got this nasty little blister from weeding, man.
It's called the weeding, thinning, planting, and watering thing.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
That's what's going on.
Yep.
And we want to hear what's going on with you. 527-486-8166-KVNF now. Jeff is back this week, ready to take your call, and the worms are here to give you an answer or an opinion. Or
or not.
Or not. But we're going to start out with a question from last week. Actually, one of our favorite listeners, Max, down in Montrose, called about raising worms in a barrel, and what do you do with that when wintertime comes?
You bring them inside, Max, because they don't like to be really cold. You could probably, you know, do something clever, and I bet you could keep them in a root cellar. The optimum temperature for worms when they're doing their thing is 55 degrees. They don't like to be too hot, and they don't like to be too cold. And they need
55.
55.
Mm-hmm. And you can overwater them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to, you know, keep it moist but not sopping wet.
Yep.
Especially during the winter, I would
bet.
Yeah.
And dark, or in a closet or basement closet, something like that.
Yeah,
dark.
Yeah. They're, you know, dark guys. That's where they live. But they just in real life, they just go down in the ground and get below the frost line or do whatever they do and chill out. Get it?
Good one.
Okay, never mind.
All right, the worms are on tonight.
Yeah, we're on it tonight.
Okay, 527-486-8166-KVNF now. Everything's coming up, right?
Everything
planted.
Up. Yeah. Within 4 to 5 days, things start coming up, but for me anyways. And the amaranth was the first thing to show up, and then lettuce was up in about the same period. And actually, I actually plant basil from seed, and it was up in about 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to do basil from seed. I've got some nice plants going, but I always like to do a bucket of seeds, too.
Uh-huh.
And
you have basil from starts, and you have early basil.
Yeah,
sure.
And, stuff.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you do this, and this is your main crop.
Yeah, you're making pesto crop.
Yeah.
Right. Now, last week, Lulu, you were doing some planting, and you're still doing that, but you've got some starters in right now.
Yeah,
you work
on. Yeah. I bought a new rototiller. I got so fed up with mine. I just couldn't bear it, and I bought a new one, and I love it.
It starts, right?
It starts with one pull.
Yeah.
And it idles, and I can like take my hand off the throttle, and it idles, and it starts when it goes off, and it's just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. So you've been tilling it up.
Yeah, so yeah. I really worked over my dirt. Uh-huh. I really got into the maple roots in that one garden and really chewed them out. So that was a big project. In fact, I'm still sore from it.
Yeah,
look at those muscles.
Yeah, you got to keep all the tools, your motorized tools, tuned up. Most people don't think of these small engines, but if you keep them tuned up, mine always start on the first, if not the second pole.
Yeah, tuned up, free of dust. I always
air filters.
Yeah, air filters clean. Change your oil. I'm on my fourth tank of gas.
Whoa,
so,
you have been working.
Well, it's a tiny tank. Tiny. But anyway, yes. And so when I get through this tank of gas and then the next one, I'll change the oil.
Yeah, it's a new machine. So
it's brand new. Yeah. So I'll change the oil and like that and make sure you get the right kind of oil and all that. And I always water the garden before I rototill.
Keep the dust down.
Keep the dust down.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, good maintenance, like sharpening tools.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Rich and Joy from Paonia are on the line with a question. Good evening.
Good evening. We're trying to grow some bean sprouts. And we get up in the morning and we see these little sprouts. And the next morning we get up and they're all chewed down.
Well, so we
thought about hiring a Watts and a Sherlock. You know, you guys were a better bet.
That's, it's sow bugs or slugs.
Yeah.
No two ways about it.
Sow bugs or slugs.
Yeah. More than likely.
Yeah.
And
if you're seeing a lot of birds around, the birds might be on it.
The birds
too.
Might be on it. The other thing that I do when I start eating the bugs, eat my seedlings. Now they're not eating my beans too much, but I put diatomaceous earth on them. After every watering.
So you water and then put the diatomaceous earth on?
Well, if I, you know, like beans, I don't have to water that much. But I will put the diatomaceous earth on, and when I water again, it gets washed off.
Mm-hmm. So you got to reapply.
Reapply.
Yeah. You can also Sluggo Plus.
Yeah.
That Sluggo stuff is amazing. And it's an organic fix.
And we've got some. Perfect.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. And there's a regular Sluggo, and then there's a Sluggo Plus. And the Plus one, it gets a few extra guys out of there. I mean, it's harsh, but, you know, you got to eat too.
Yeah, I got to eat. That's right.
There's another old-fashioned one where you bury a saucer.
Yeah.
And you pour beer in it. And they love beer. The slugs will. The sow bugs will go in
they
it.
They go right for that beer.
You know,
there's none left. I'm sorry.
I used to do this in Southern California for the snails more than slugs, and they really like good beer.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Sluggo Plus.
Sluggo, baby.
Yeah.
Sluggo.
You know,
and
they're two favorite beers that I found. The one was Bud Light, and the other one was Colt 45 malt liquor.
Wow. I got to go. Joy's hollering. She made spaghetti squash spaghetti for dinner.
Okay.
All right, Joy. We'll be right over.
All righty.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the bugs are out for sure.
The bugs are out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've killed 4 grasshoppers that are about a half an inch long.
Oh, really? So,
tiny.
Little babies.
Yeah.
And what is that, nolobate that we want to be spreading, something like that right now to get those baby grasshoppers that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The nolo is a good idea. Yeah.
That's
if you're
start.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the turkeys, the wild turkeys.
Right.
Through. You know,
and they're got good appetites right now.
They got good appetites. And I was talking to Jill earlier that they were eating the unopened buds of the salsify, like gangbusters. It was amazing to watch. And just one gulp, they were gone. Snapped them right off.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd never seen that before. Yeah, so
that's crazy. Yeah, salsify. Turkeys like it.
Yeah.
The unopened.
But it wasn't no seed heads or anything. Just it was all closed
ready
up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Ready to bloom, and they were just snapping them off like you would.
Wow, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
There must be some super nutritious value to them or something.
Yeah, they had some kind of craving going on there.
Lures them in, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
All right, 527-486-81-866-KVNF now. Speaking of bugs, Lance, you wanted to mention ladybugs.
Oh, yes. A friend had called up and wanted to know about ordering ladybugs. She just wanted to know if it was very beneficial. And I said, yes, you could do it, but you have to have, not only are they going to eat the aphids, but they're also need to have nectar. So you need to have you're going to have to look this up to see what plants are nectar plants for the ladybugs. If you're going to order ladybugs, you've got to feed them. Always.
Right.
And if you don't have the nectar plants, they're just going to fly off to find them.
Okay, so it's got to feed those bugs to...
And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a product out there that you could buy that will help with that.
Yeah. Now, Lulu, you have a resource there, Colorado Creepy Crawlers Guide.
Oh, I'm telling you. I've been busted because I just got into the book and... It's amazing. I've been looking for my beetle still that I saw. And he's not in here or whatever it was. He, she, it, we, they.
Mystery beetle.
Yeah, it's a mystery beetle, and she's still not in here. But I'm telling you, it's great, though. The bugs and what they figure out and how they figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and like what's going on right now with the leaf miners, something rather...
Oh, the leaf miner. Mm-hmm. Well, there's leaf miners, the regular leaf miner that we know of that's in spinach and beet greens and chard. That's there.
Lamb's
that's,
quarter, too.
Yeah, and that's mm-hmm. and that's that little white egg on... Kate. There's a coming about clusters of four on the underside of the leaves, so that's there. But if you've noticed, the elm tree leaves are coming down like mad, and it's actually a leaf miner of some sort. I don't know what kind it is, but it's not eating the outside. It's not eating. It's in between the two layers.
Right.
And I've seen that happen before, too. I've seen outbreaks of that where it decimates a tree and every single leaf is skeletonized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I remember that happening several times in Carbondale.
Uh-huh.
They just go right after it.
Yeah, yeah. And the tree just appetite. Looks, you know, I mean, it's awful. I mean, it just is wasted. But, you know, it's an elm tree, so they bounce back.
They come right back.
Yeah.
All right. Bug That's report.
One, right? That's one of those things that you got to go, all right, what, you know, it's got such a bad rap.
Uh-huh.
But in real life, I mean... It's a survivor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
The wood is hard, and I mean, you know.
When you look at the whole community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You look at the big picture, it's a real survivor. So
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, you might want to give us a call, 527-486-81-866, KVNF now. It's As the Worm Turns.
Nice
and,
work,
Jill. Hey, we're just rolled right into it.
Yeah,
you know?
we're just fiddling around. I'm still looking for my New Mexico beetle in the book. And when you get Whitney Crenshaw, this is a guide to Colorado insects. I'm not even going to try to say the name of the other guy, but it's Whitney Crenshaw and Boris... and Boris. You want
Whitney
to try?
And Boris.
No.
No.
Boris, it is.
It's a serious name.
But I've heard of Whitney Crenshaw.
Yeah,
some
Whitney's,
other books that you guys
right,
have brought
in. We've had him in our books around here for sure, lots. It's amazing. So,
hey, let's talk about watering a little bit, because we talked about the frog eye sprinkler. That was kind of your preferred sprinkler. But what about overlapping
Yeah, we had mentioned overlapping, and just sort of we didn't really clarify that. And overlapping of sprinklers, if you're doing that, they'll say they're spraying 12 feet. And lots of people's minds, it means that you can put the next sprinkler setting 24 feet away. But no, it's only 12 feet away because the sprinkler doesn't water underneath itself.
Right.
So you have to overlap it by half. Yeah.
12 feet to 12 feet to 12 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Because it really sort of doesn't water right underneath
it. It doesn't water underneath itself.
I mean, there's a lot of splash out and stuff, but
it doesn't water.
But it's not wet.
Yeah, so you have to watch that. And if you're putting a sprinkler system in, it's every 12 feet. Or if it says they're 15-foot radius or 20-foot, that's how you're doing it. And the bigger impact sprinklers, they say 35. You might put them at 30, and then there's those diffusers, and there's different size holes. It gets a little more complicated with the bigger guys.
Yeah. Watering is key, and it's so difficult. I had
it
to chase water.
It is a little difficult,
yeah. Yeah, I was on the water project again day before yesterday or yesterday, and it's really it takes a lot of time, and you have to go up and fiddle with the irrigation, and oh, my God, you know, it's just...
Yeah, I have a couple places where I flush out the line. I just open it up and let because it's all piped.
Uh-huh.
And it's piped into a little cistern. But the way it's piped, it goes, and then a 90 up. Well, at the bottom of that 90, 4 feet down is where the mud's at.
Yeah.
And so I just open up the valve and have
and
to flush
it
that
shoot,
up.
Huh?
And I let it run for 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, I haven't flushed mine recently, but I did just a week ago.
Uh-huh.
When we started having trouble and it was backing up again. But the end of the big line that comes down from the ditch, I think we need to flush that
Regularly. Yeah.
because it just...
Yeah, it's just something you got to clean out. It's a maintenance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, ditches are a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. And there's an extraordinary amount of silt in the water this year, in the irrigation water.
Yeah, another place has... We have three different screens. You have to clean those screens out twice a week.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's really frequent.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I just, and there was silt enough in the ditch box that the screens didn't go back down, so I had to clean those out.
In the ditch box, that's what I had to do. Yeah. That's what I had to do yesterday, and I couldn't, you know. Luckily, I was able to. We have a new piece of equipment that lets me shut the intake valve in the ditch off, so then the box empties. So then I can get in the box and shovel the mud out.
There's a lot to it.
But I'm telling you know, usually we only do it like once. We do it in the spring and then maybe once in the middle of the summer. This was done seriously in the spring and now seriously again. It's a month later.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. I actually had a little ditch experience. I was pulling thistle off of the back of the ditch because it had rained, and it's so fun to pull
so
thistle.
Easy.
And I thought, oh, don't step over and straddle the ditch, Jill. Don't do it. But I always do what I know I shouldn't do, and I straddled it, and I got a taste of that silt. It was like a silt bathtub.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I am so sorry. Well, that's what I looked like after I got out of the box the other day. I mean, I was mud from head to toe. I had it under my eyes and my ears and my hair. Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. To be beautiful, you must suffer.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Oh, gosh.
All right. 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Lance, can I ask you about your einkorn? Because I've just been into einkorn lately, the ancient grain.
It's about 18 inches tall, and it hasn't headed out yet. And I'm hoping that I just watered it for the last time. I might water it one more, but this might be it. If they get too tall, they get leggy, they fall over, which is called lodging. If you ever talk about grain growing and they talk about lodging, that just means the grass is falling over. Now, it doesn't kill the grass, it doesn't, and the grain will still ripen. But if you're machine harvesting, you can't do it.
Oh, right.
But for me, my small batches, I got three sickles. They work just great. Doesn't matter if it's lodged or not. Mm-hmm. And if I see that it's going to start lodging, sometimes I get some of the grains that get simply, they just get tall. That's what their thing is. The turkey red wheat will get 6 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You know, and so I'll actually put stakes around and put string and
hold it up.
Hold it up just so it's not laying on the ground.
Right. Just
on the other plants that are planting right next to it.
So here we are in June, and you're already going to stress that to dry it out.
Yeah, your winter grains, you can almost dry land farm. This is we've had enough moisture that this is really only the second time I've watered it this spring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and then the Tibetan barley is about, it's not as tall as usual, which is fine, but it's all putting seed heads out now. It's pretty amazing. Planted in April, it's already putting its seed heads out.
Yeah.
And it's quite beautiful. It's an emerald green. And then the little awes, the little things that come out the top of the grains, they're, it looks really pretty nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Sounds gorgeous. 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. The flowers are beautiful everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's blooming. June is busting out.
Yeah.
All over.
I had my first salsify big dandelion head.
Oh, okay.
I love those.
Yeah, the salsify's crazy this year.
Yeah, it's huge and beautiful from all the rain, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really thriving.
Isn't that what you use to trap
the aphids?
Yes,
oh, really?
Yeah. The aphids love it.
Yeah, the aphids love it, and they get they make it so easy because they get down in between the leaf and the stem, the main stalk. So you can just literally just press the leaf against the main stalk and rub them out.
Yeah,
and you can wipe out thousands.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
that's great to know.
Yeah. And then you wipe out that whole first generation of aphids, and they have a really hard time building themselves back up again, and you're golden for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
All right. I've got some bushes I can use that on.
Yeah.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, you just put those right around there. Boy, I'll tell you what, you'll be rubbing them out.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, we've got Josephine, who's visiting Paonia, and she's listening to the show and is on the line with a question. Hi, Josephine.
Hi.
Hi.
Ask your question.
Okay. What's going on?
Why does the wee box elder bug?
Oh, good question. Box elder bugs.
Joe's, there's a lot of them because they're just really successful at being box elders. And they provide so much food for so many of the other creatures, the birds.
Birds, snakes.
Snakes, yep.
Yeah. I bet you lizards are eating them
Oh,
up.
Sure.
Toads.
Toads, yep.
Mm,
all the little ones, all those little tiny red ones that are crawling around right now, those are the ones that the snakes and lizards and toads will get after. And then they go up in the tree and then the birds get them.
Do they bite?
No.
No, they'll not hurt you.
What are they doing?
What are they doing?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is such a great question.
I think we've got our answer.
Thanks, Sam.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Josephine.
Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm. That was awesome, Josephine.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Getting busy.
They're getting busy, but I would suspect they're eating a lot of organic matter, breaking down, because they're in a lot of leaf litter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I suspect they're eating that kind of stuff.
Yeah. They're breaking stuff down. They're doing their part to break. That's what bugs do. I mean, that's what everything. You got your three big things. The first thing you have to do is as a creature on this planet is adapt or die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the box elders have gotten really good at it. And they aren't dying off in huge numbers. They have adapted well. The second thing that they all want to do is breed and feed.
Yeah.
So they're doing that real well. And the rest of the story is nobody gets out alive anyway. So.
But there's so many of them that. It's one of those, the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah, it's not
the top of the food chain, it's the bottom.
It's the bottom. It's one of the bottom pyramid species that are so vital that everybody just, I don't think we give them enough credit.
No. Right.
At all. So that's our
credit
story.
Credit for the box elder bugs. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Josephine.
Yep.
And you were
everywhere.
Just saying before the show.
Nobody's asked me about the little red bugs that are everywhere. And the little red bugs are the baby box elder bugs. They're fixing to go up that tree and do their thing.
Yeah.
There they go.
There they are.
Right on.
Awesome.
Okay, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. I think we need a carrot report. We haven't had one of those.
Oh, the carrot report. Okay, let's see.
Catch you off guard?
No, it's not off guard. The first bed is doing really good. Probably 2 weeks I'll start having carrots for myself.
Okay.
And that's the rumbas. That's a small Nantes type size. Maybe the tops might get 4 to 6 inches, and the roots will be more than you would ever expect. That's all I can say. It's pretty amazing how well it sizes up for the amount of tops.
The rumba carrot.
And the rumba carrots. And then the second bed of carrots is completely thinned and growing just fine. The third bed of carrots I'm thinning. The fourth bed has been planted and has just started to come up. And the fifth bed will get planted in the next week.
Okay. Carrots are in business, huh?
And the onions are all thinned. As far as, we keep on talking about thinning.
Right, thinning being part of what's going on now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was thinning zinnias today and Silvette arugula, which gets everywhere in my garden.
Uh-huh.
Even though I don't have anything planted yet, I'm still thinning. And
So you're thinning your zinnias that are just sprouting already?
Yeah, they just sprouted, They're just 3 days. 3 days from in the ground to showing.
Yeah, I believe it.
Mm-hmm. I was blown away.
And you're thinning those to what? Because we all grow zinnias.
Because I put a lot of seeds in and then they're too close together. So I've thinned them down to every other one right now. And then as they continue to develop, I'll figure out whether I want to do more or not. Okay. I probably will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that amaranth, even though it's just coming up, it's coming up thick enough that I've actually pinched the whole 50-foot roll. I took half already out.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll still have to take half out.
Yeah.
It's fine. I want it that way so that I get an even stand.
It's kind of like thinning fruit. You feel like you don't want to thin it, but it really is beneficial.
Yeah, it's beneficial.
Yeah, it's way beneficial. Mm-hmm. I do not have a single apple in my yard. It's the first time ever.
Well,
you know, we had a cat in Norwood last week. Remember, she didn't have blooms or going on her apple tree either. Hey, Joy and Rich from Paonia are on the line again with a question about greens bolting too early.
Well, it depends on what kind of greens.
Yeah,
I eat a lot faster than she does, so I came outside. And she's inside, and she can hear you on the radio, but I'm outside. But this was her question, and she says, I can't believe it. My greens are just bolting too early. And I said, well, why don't you just cut them off, slow them down, throw some nitrogen in there.
Well, what kind of greens?
Well, we got mustard, we got spinach, and
Well, the mustard, yeah. Mustard, mustard's going to go to seed pretty fast. Yeah, and if you want more.
She's yelling bok choy.
Yeah, you start off with, they really like rich soil and high nitrogen. You know, so once it germinated in an inch or two up, I would be putting compost, manure, tea, fish emulsion, something almost, every 2 weeks, if not more. You start doing more than that, it starts to make it too rich, even for those guys, and they don't like it.
She's nodding her head at me. I'm looking at her through the window. Yeah.
You can plant more mustard, and just like I'm planting cilantro and lettuce and green onions every 10 days now, just because of the heat. I do not plant no more spinach. It's too hot.
No more spinach. Oh, she dropped her jaw. She said, what?
I mean, you can try it. You can try spinach.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Okay.
Yeah, and just, and just throw some more seeds in. Just keep them rolling.
You're only going to get one cutting, maybe two, and then move on.
Yeah. Right. Every 10 days, that's frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's nodding her head. Okay. She's saying thank you. This was her question.
All right. Thank you, Joy.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. We love
you. Thanks. Thank you, Rich.
Bye.
All right. All kinds of good questions tonight. And
just keep planting them. That's with the
greens.
There you go. Don't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not too late to plant, right?
No,
Lulu?
It's not too late. I haven't put a seed in the ground yet. And just because the circumstance is beyond my control. And you don't need a lot, especially like if you're doing a lettuce mix or something like that. Don't plant a whole row. Plant 2 feet.
2 feet, perfect.
Yeah, and then, you got a little spot where something just came out. Throw some that mix in there and just,
What we did this time was I had my few tomato plants. I think there's six there. And one side, we planted the lettuce that just came up, the lettuce and cilantro on that side. And that was on the south side. Next week, the next time I plant, I'm going to put it on the north side.
Yeah.
And these are the spaces. The plants are small enough.
Right.
The tomato plants are small enough that this stuff will be out.
Out. Yeah,
before those guys are big.
Yeah, before there's
great
an issue.
Idea.
And then when I go to planting my fall cabbage, I leave space, a 2-3 foot space in between the different varieties of cabbage. And that's where I'm going to plant that lettuce, cilantro, and green onions. It's raining outside the studios.
Oh, we love that.
My windows are open.
Mine probably are too. Oh, how fun.
Feels good.
Feels great. Well, bless the rain, right?
Bless the rain. And bless you, worms. Great information. And thank you to our listeners and our callers tonight. That half hour rolls by quickly, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's really nice.
And I was going to talk about the best idea for us for doing our part to do the Paris Peace Accord or environment.
Give us a quick one.
Okay.
Paonia Climate Accord.
The Paonia Climate Accord. Good for all of the greater Southwest region. Unplug your dryer. And next week, stand by. We'll give you the details on how much this country or Paonia in its own little world could save by doing that.
All right.
You live in the desert. Hang your clothes on the line, people.
Thank you for that, Lulu. Appreciate that perspective. And we will be bringing more of that next week. We'll be back next week at 6:30.
Yeah.
See you then.
Okay.
It's One Woman's Perspective coming up. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Everybody have fun.
Have a good evening.
Good night.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.